fully autonomous, self-driving vehicles seem like a distant fantasy, but tech giants and automakers like Ford, GM, Baidu, Tesla, and Alphabet have invested billions of dollars and years into making it a reality. So how far away are we from this reality? How long until autonomous driving can be commercialized on a large scale? And how much will it cost the consumer as well as the economy, as this automation cycle will cause massive job losses for current drivers? I'm Christy Ai and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be taking a look at how autonomous vehicles will shape the world as we know it today. Market leaders are betting big on smart transit technology, logging thousands of road miles to train self-driving algorithms and AI sensors to drive better than humans in all kinds of weathers. Companies like Cruise, Waymo, Baidu, and others have invested billions of dollars into this emerging market, poised to reach 12% of new car registrations globally by 2030. The concept of autonomous driving has shifted from robotics to AI. And nowadays, companies like Waymo are building out large neural networks that figured out details by itself by converting inputs like camera or LiDAR data about the roads ahead into outputs like turning the wheel, hitting the brakes. By having millions of miles of driving data, these AIs have identified around 200,000 unique scenarios that it is then trained to handle. Equity funding in autonomous driving tech has surpassed $12 billion in 2021, up more than 50% in 2020. But the total global investment in autonomous vehicles has exceeded $200 billion already, and that figure is set to increase rapidly as competition intensifies. At the same time, countries around the world have invested in infrastructure to facilitate AV production and adoption. Now, when we're talking about autonomous driving, there are six levels. Level zero means that there's no driving automation. Level one means that there's driver assistance, which most high-end vehicles have these days. Level two means that there's partial driving automation, which Teslas are classified under today. Level three requires conditional driving automation, which is a substantial jump from level two from a technology perspective. Audi's A8L was the world's first production level 3 vehicle, which rolled out in Europe. Level 4 requires high driving automation, which means that these cars do not require human interaction in most circumstances. Alphabet's Waymo recently unveiled an L4 self-driving taxi service in Arizona, and French company Navya is already building an L4 shuttle and cabs. Level 5 vehicles do not require any human attention, and while these are still undergoing testing in several pockets of the world, none are yet available to the general public. Pony.ai and Baidu have led the industry launching robo-taxis for the public in China, and these two companies started charging fares in last November, but it still has a safety driver monitoring the ride. And finally, level 6, which means full automation, and these cars do not need to have any human interaction in any driving circumstances. Pony.ai and Baidu have led the industry launching robo-taxis for the public in China. And these two companies started charging fares last November, but it still has a safety driver monitoring the ride. Meanwhile, in the US, Waymo and Cruise expect to soon launch their own paid driverless taxi robot in San Francisco. Ford has begun operating autonomous test vehicles without a human safety driver in Miami and Austin, moving around employees. And while many tech companies are making tremendous headway and breakthroughs, not all of these companies are having successes in the sector. Ford has pulled the plug on its effort to develop a full self-driving car, getting rid of its Argo AI division. Now, this cost Ford $2.7 billion to walk away, after it had already invested $1 billion back in 2017. And for more, let's bring in Dr. Ram Pendelaya, professor of the School of Sustainable Engineering at Arizona State University. So, Professor, how far away do you think fully autonomous driving is in our future? And what will that future look like?
I think fully autonomous driving is already here. Fully autonomous driving is happening right in our backyard in Phoenix, Arizona, where Waymo is providing fully driverless rides. I think Cruise is getting ready to launch some driverless rides. They're already offering driverless rides, I think, in San Francisco. So driverless, autonomous, vehicles, they are here already. And essentially what we're going to see, I think, over the next few decades, so it is maybe 20 to 30 years, we will just see, I think, an increasing prevalence and an increasing rollout of driverless vehicles in our, in our neighborhoods, in our cities. So it's just going to be place by place and, geography by geography. So I think what we're seeing is essentially autonomous vehicles making a phased kind of introduction into our transportation ecosystem. There are some places where maybe it's a little easier or makes more sense to deploy sooner rather than later. And so I think you'll just kind of see this phased growth and expansion of autonomous vehicles. Now, will we ever see a day when you have 100% autonomous vehicles in 100% of the locations, like every neighborhood, every city, every state, and so on? Maybe that's very, very far away. More than even decades, who knows? Maybe there are some places where it will never happen. We just can't say for sure. It depends on how the technology evolves, how rapidly AI really proves itself. But I think we're going to, we already see it in place, and we're going to see it continuously expand and grow over the next few decades.
And when it comes to technology adoption, there's always a learning curve with the early adopters, the mainstream, and then the laggards. So how long do you think before we can achieve mainstream adoption?
Again, there is just so much uncertainty. I mean, whatever I say is going to be, rather significant speculation, because again, it just depends on the technology and all of its attributes. I just think, the pricing is going to matter in a very big way. All of the attributes and the characteristics of the service or the characteristics of the autonomous vehicles is going to matter in a very big way. But I think you will see, 5 to 10% early adopters, and then maybe in another decade or so. But again, just depends on how the technology evolves. What are the price points? What are all the features? And I think you will just see a very significant adoption curve, perhaps not very much unlike, personal computers or cell phones and smartphones. You can very much expect perhaps that kind of an uptake. But again, it's going to be very, very dependent on numerous factors. So to try to put a timeline on it would be nothing but speculative and probably ill-informed at this point.
And do you think fully autonomous driving will be a net benefit to the economy or a net loss, as it will displace so many jobs across the spectrum?
No, I think, automation has generally defined human existence. We generally mechanize and automate tasks, and that has been the history of humankind. So I don't think this is so much different or so much, out of the realm of what humanity has done and faced for literally centuries. So I don't see this, I think the nature of jobs will change, the nature of work will change. So you might not have individuals manually driving. That is very hard and tedious work, by the way. Perhaps there will be a whole lot of new jobs that are created as part of this automation push. And that's just going to require a reskilling and upskilling of our workforce. And our universities are all innovating and getting ready for that adaptation of the workforce that will be necessary in a future of AI, automation, robotics, and advanced technologies.
It seems like every country has their own approach when it comes to developing AV technology. Do you think that will lead to fragmentation within the automotive industry, as there will be so many different standards and protocols in each country?
I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, already we're seeing some signs of consolidation in the industry. There's a lot of, global collaboration and cooperation and dialogue around transportation automation. So, my sense is there's going to be, a meeting of the minds so that we just don't have many, many different flavors and regulations surrounding autonomous vehicles and automated driving. So my sense is there will be some level of standardization, but, I think some, variations are inevitable simply because the contexts are very different. So, many Asian cities are just so different from North American and European cities, and you will simply need a different set of regulations and a different set of perhaps technology adaptation in those contexts. But I think the dialogue that we're having as a global community is so strong that I think we will see a certain amount of agreement on standards and how this technology will work.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ram Pandiala. But don't go away, because we will discuss more about AV-powered long-haul trucks and how that is performing. When we come back, how are autonomous trucks performing, and how many workers will be out of jobs because of the ever-evolving technology? We'll find out after the break.
Counter the Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
There is a need, very urgent need, to reform United Nations system. And that is in its own, UN has to maintain its credibility. It is for its own good that UN system must be reformed to make it more contemporaneous, to make it serve in terms of being representative of the reality on the ground, and also therefore, being more effective in resolving issues and ensuring peace around the world.
Welcome back to The Cost of Everything. Daimler, one of the world's biggest trucking companies, has invested over $500 million in autonomous trucks. The AV-powered long-haul trucking space is moving perhaps the fastest in this evolving market. Not only will it keep freight costs substantially lower, but it will also help the long-haul trucking driver shortages. In 2021, the industry was short some 80,000 drivers. Self-driving trucks can operate around the clock to deliver goods, allowing for more efficient supply chains. In contrast, human drivers are limited to 8 hours of work before a break, and no more than 11 hours of daily driving. But in reality, the actual amount of time drivers spend physically driving a truck is about 6.5 hours daily. Self-driving trucks would let companies nearly triple that to 17 hours daily. However, there are some labor union concerns as automation can displace as many as 3 million workers. While there's still more development before the technology is perfected, these AV trucks will be poised to radically change the trucking industry, operating nearly around the clock as they crisscross the country. As it stands, there still needs to be improvement so that they can reliably operate in extreme weather like intense snow and fog. Infrastructure in certain parts of the country will also have to catch up so there's high-speed 5G internet communication along all the routes. With full automation, commuters will be able to engage in productive activity. Morgan Stanley Reports estimates that driverless cars would contribute $500 billion to the economy as a result of worker productivity. Moreover, traffic and congestion would also be a lot better, adding another $138 billion in annual savings. This would mean that autonomous trucks would replace up to 90% of highway trucking, which would displace as many as 500,000 long-haul truckers. Now, this would have an enormous impact on the workforce as drivers displaced would have to find other occupations or switch to short-haul routes. However, short-haul jobs typically pay less than long-haul jobs, which would be insufficient to fully replace lost earnings of $65,000 a year. Trucking jobs are the most common jobs in 29 out of 50 states in the U.S., and there are millions of people working for the trucking industry in non-driving positions. Once automation happens, up to 1.7 million workers in the industry can be impacted and affected. And for more, let's bring in once again Dr. Ram Pendiala, professor at the School of Sustainable Engineering at Arizona State University. So, Professor, what other industries will need to change as a result of autonomous vehicles on the road? Things like insurance policies, roadside internet services, etc.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think you'll see a lot of telecommunications industry, I think, will very much be part of this revolution that we're seeing in transportation. Of course, the insurance industry and everything that goes with liability and risk and so on will need to adapt as well to this new normal. And then, you know, just in terms of materials and suppliers and all the technologies that that feed into automation, I think they will have to adapt. But so will all of our transportation infrastructure. So in a future of automated vehicles, you know, what kinds of infrastructure do you need adaptations and sensor systems do you need to put into place to make sure that other road users are safe? They are not made more vulnerable, so to speak. So if you think about pedestrians and bicyclists and all the other, users of the transportation system, I think you will see some adjustments that need to be made even to the infrastructure itself.
And we've talked about the power grid in relation to converting to EVs. What about this conversion into AVs? Are we going to run into the same problems as there isn't enough power infrastructure to support all of this?
You know, I think it'll probably take a while to really get to the point where we're, you know, really challenging our grid. I mean, I think there'll be other challenges to the grid just brought on by climate change, extreme heat waves, extreme freeze conditions, and so on, that will challenge our grid more than you know, plugging in electric vehicles will. But you can imagine in a future where there's, you know, very, very significant uptake of electric vehicles and everybody charges them overnight, you can think of a considerable strain on the grid. But again, I don't think it's anything we can't handle. I would be probably more concerned about just the extreme climate conditions that might put a greater strain on our grid than, you know, a million electric vehicles being plugged in.
AVs would make blue-collar jobs redundant, but the new jobs that it would create required specialized skill. So how would we plug in this shortfall in skilled labor necessary to service AVs and run logistic hubs?
You know, I think we're already in that business. A lot of institutions, both community colleges and universities, are offering programs and educational training programs in those areas. So we are producing the workforce of the future that a more automated society would need and would benefit from. Now, having said that, I do not necessarily think, you know, blue collar service oriented jobs are going to just fade away. I mean, all of these vehicles need to be maintained, cleaned. There's still going to be a lot of service oriented jobs, especially if automated vehicles become increasingly part of mobility as a service. So there's going to always be, you know, a need for the service, you know, the service workers who take care of the assets. In the meantime, I think all of us in the educational sphere are very much adapting our curricula to produce the workforce that's needed for the future.
And is there resistance against advancing into automation for fear of job displacements? And how many people would be displaced due to automation becoming more mainstream?
I can't really put a number simply because I'm not fully aware. I'm not fully aware of those statistics. You know, again, I just don't think there will be a whole lot of, you know, displacement or unemployment. Again, to me, it's simply a natural transition. As you just think about perhaps, you know, moving increasingly from fossil fuels and coal to more renewable energy sources, it's not like everybody working in those industries are going to become unemployed. You know, I fully expect that they are going to transition into the renewable energy industry and have very good jobs waiting for them. And so the same is going to happen with automation in transportation. You know, yes, we might see, you know, a million drivers perhaps no longer needed to drive vehicles, but we'll need a million individuals to take care of these assets and to actually manage the entire automation process and all of the technologies and maintaining these vehicles, ensuring that they're functioning, and maintaining all of the logistics, handling all of the logistics that goes with it.
And are there any security concerns when it comes to autonomous vehicles, as they are giant computers literally tracking every movement, habit, and listening in on conversations within the car? So is that a major concern that these vehicles could threaten the privacy of citizens?
Absolutely. I think there's privacy concerns. I think there's cybersecurity concerns. These are computers on wheels in many ways. So they can be hacked. They can be compromised. They're recording every move and conversation and so on. And so I think a lot of that is going to be part of the evolution as these technologies increasingly become part of our society. I think people, for the most part, you know, acknowledge that in this era of social media, et cetera, a lot of, you know, generally there is a lot of tracking and data gathering that's happening, but all of that comes with a certain privacy policy and privacy expectations. And the same thing with cybersecurity. I mean, you know, whenever we do a transaction, we expect, you know, it to be a secure transaction, whether you're shopping online, using a credit card, et cetera, it's banking, online banking, and so on. And I think it'll be similar expectations for automated vehicles as well. And so we will need very robust cybersecurity systems in place and a workforce that's able to ensure the security of these systems.
Dr. Ram, thank you so much for your time today. Self-driving vehicles are meant to liberate consumers from the tedious task of driving. If people can sleep or nap or take meetings, answer calls, emails, or listen to lectures in their personal travel pods, they might choose to live even further away from work or school. This would make daily commuting much more tolerable than congested city living. It also repurposes how passengers use their time while traveling, providing space for rest. But while the future is bright, there are still many hurdles left to overcome for the industry, things such as safety standards, 5G infrastructure, as well as maintenance cost. Maintenance cost for an AV is like maintenance cost for a supercomputer. Lots of electronics that require specialized technicians to troubleshoot and fix. In comparison, serving a standard petrol-powered vehicle would be a lot cheaper and timely to fix. And although there are numerous cost savings and efficiency when it comes to automation, does the consumer actually win here? Throughout history, automation has led to better productivity, increased efficiency, but it also led to humans being subjected to more mundane tasks and working conditions. This is especially true for people in medium and low income work, where majority of the tasks are repetitive. Paradoxically, work may become less effortful, but more tedious and fatiguing as drivers transition into a more supervisory role monitoring the progress of truck deliveries instead of actually doing the physical delivery. So while the hype surrounding driverless cars has attracted billions of dollars of investment, it has also fostered unrealistic expectations. Mainstream adoption of autonomous cars is something that will happen over the next 30 years, as current technology is still insufficient to reliably accommodate drivers in everyday situation. I'm Christy I, and we'll see you back here next time on The Cost of Everything.